Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When it came time for me to propose to my wife, I went shopping for a diamond. And as I visited different jewelry stores, they showed me a lot of different stones. And each one of their offerings presented for my examination was presented on a dark little panel of black felt. Dark background brought out the purity of the diamond. Well, tonight we're going to see the same contrast between darkness and sparkling perfection when we see our crucified Savior set on the dark background of four ruthless soldiers. We read from John 19, verses 23 and 24. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. The soldiers who crucified Jesus were a desensitized bunch. This is an understatement that we in this room will probably never fully understand. Like all human beings, these men had been born sinful, yet they had also been ruled by their sinful natures all their lives. Throughout the time from birth until this point, they had been shaped not by God's word, but by the world around them, the sinners who lived on their left and on their right. And their occupation had made them even more grim and merciless than the average man. They were soldiers in a time when wars were fought in hand-to-hand combat. They had seen the lifeblood drain out of their enemies at arm's length. For these men, killing was routine. So when they received the orders to crucify Jesus, they made preparations. They gathered up the things that they would need: hammer, nails, crossbeam, food and water, for them, of course. They were going to be up on Golgotha for a good while, and they knew it, so they packed a lunch. At one point during Jesus' trial before the Roman governor, Pilate attempted to appeal to the mercy of the crowd below. He did this by having Jesus scourged by soldiers, just like those who would take him to the cross. And scourge him they did, with that many-thonged whip that had bits of metal and bits of bone embedded into the tips. And this, too, was for them business as usual, with no hint of mercy in what they did. And even after Jesus' body was torn and bleeding, the soldiers felt no empathy. In Mark 15, we read, "The soldiers led him away inside the palace," that is, in the governor's headquarters, "and they called the whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak and twisted together a crown of thorns. And they put it on him, and they began to salute him, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him." Crucifying a man began by getting him to the site of execution. But since crucifixion was also meant as a lesson for those who would live, they usually took him on a long parade throughout the city so that everyone would see him. And they would have one soldier carry a placard in front of this parade that said what this man was being crucified for. For the soldiers, again, this was business as usual. Part of their business was intimidation. The parade of the condemned said very clearly, "This is what happens when you cross Rome. Rome crosses you. When Jesus was led to the hill of execution, we're given one more additional bit of information which colors in the character of these four soldiers. Along the way, Jesus apparently fell under the weight of his cross. The scourging had taken too much out of him. And so the Romans grabbed a man that was passing by and forced him to carry Jesus' cross behind him. They weren't going to do it. They were the conquerors. They were the rulers. They held the power. It was not unusual for a Roman soldier to force a Jew to carry his baggage for a mile whenever he felt like resting. And when the soldiers finally reached their destination, they crucified Jesus. When the nails had been hammered in, holding the victim securely to the cross, they hung the charge above his head and turned to other matters. They considered a crucified man to be a dead man. And so the clothes that they had recently taken off of him were now up for grabs. We're told that the four soldiers separated these remaining possessions of Jesus into four parts, one thing for each of them. Four parts were probably a head covering, sandals, an outer garment like a cloak, like a robe, and a belt. The Gospel of Mark tells us that they, once they divided these things, they cast lots to see who would get what. And then they cast lots one more time. Because on this particular occasion, there was one extra item. Jesus had a finely woven inner garment that he wore next to his skin. This was a nice piece of clothing. So they decided to roll the dice one more time to figure out who got to take home this prize. Perhaps we've heard this account so many times that we have become desensitized to the cruelty of this act. Imagine it like this. Imagine that you are at the deathbed of one of your loved ones. And then you notice that they're wearing a really nice shirt. So you ask them, "You wouldn't mind if I, you know, when you're dead, if I would take that shirt off of you, would you?" I mean, you're not going to need it anymore. That wouldn't be okay. And yet that's exactly what these men did just a few feet away from Jesus on the cross. These soldiers served as a contrasting darkness that brings out for us the innocence and the sinlessness of our Savior. And you know, it's ironic that there were four of them, because in the scriptures, the number four is sometimes used as a symbolic number, and it represents man. And here we see in these four Roman soldiers what we all would be apart from God. Selfish, unfeeling, greedy. Apart from his grace, that is the road that we would go down. And there behind these dark sinners, we also see Jesus, though, shining out in stark contrast to their brutality. Their purpose was to kill and to intimidate and to ultimately help Rome take and keep whatever Rome wanted. But Jesus' whole purpose in life was not to take, but to give. To give sinners forgiveness for all of their sins. To give them back the relationship that their first parents lost in the Garden of Eden. To give us back joy and peace in the presence of our Creator. These four men at the cross were utterly insensitive, gambling for his possessions right at the foot of this dying man. But Jesus, on the other hand, was so full of compassion, so feeling, so full of mercy that he was suffering and dying for these men who considered him less than dirt. He gladly paid hell for each of their sins and for ours also, simply for the joy of saving us. These men and soldiers like them in the Roman army fed on the conquered and the hopeless. They forced the Jews to carry their burdens, offended them at every occasion, took the possessions of the dying with no attempt to hide what they were doing. But even while these men were gambling for Jesus' last piece of clothing, his last possession, he was suffering in order to give them an eternal covering. He was suffering to cover their sins with his righteousness. As the Apostle Paul once told his fellow Christians in Galatia, he said, "In Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And we hope that later on these men realized what Jesus had done for them, that he had secured for them a much more valuable and lasting garment than that woven inner garment, that he had secured for them a garment that they could wear before God the Father on the last day, a garment that would cover everything wrong that they had ever done. But we don't know in their case whether any of them came to faith later or not. Theme of our meditation this Lent is portrait of our suffering Savior painted by numbers. Tonight we have done some to color in the background of this picture, coloring it black by examining these ruthless soldiers. But of course this hasn't been an exercise in passing the blame off to them, for in their actions we see a reminder of our own dark desensitization. I mean, how many times haven't we Christians also repaid evil for evil? Instead of taking the opportunity to forgive someone graciously in the name of our great God and Savior? How many times haven't we Christians squabbled over material things at the expense of what is truly important? How many times have we Christians laughed at jokes made at the expense of other people? Laughed at things that we wouldn't want other people to hear us laughing about. I think we belong in the dirt, squatting with those soldiers, us and the rest of the world, with our backs turned to the Savior as he suffers in sinless perfection behind us. But John leaves us with one more detail, a detail that we do well to note. If you look in verse 24, it says, "This was to fulfill the scripture which says, 'They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots.' So the soldiers did these things." See there, John is quoting a prophecy found in Psalm 22, that precious psalm which details so much of Jesus' suffering hundreds of years before he was crucified. Unknowingly, these four soldiers were fulfilling yet another prophecy in the long list of prophecies that surrounded Jesus and identified him as not just another criminal dying at the hands of the Romans, but as the suffering Savior that was foretold. Savior who died for a purpose, to take away our every insensitive sin, every unfeeling sin, and to give us full and complete forgiveness and peace. Yes, we deserve to be drawn into every depiction of the cross with these soldiers at its feet, right next to them. But not only because our sins are just as bad as theirs, but also because there at the foot of the cross, Jesus' sinless perfection falls down on us. And it covers up all of our imperfection with his sparkling perfection. When your conscience turns your inner eye toward the darkness that is your choices in life, your sins, remember why God gave you that conscience, so that you would see your great need for redemption, and so that you would see very clearly how precious that sparkling diamond of Christ's righteousness truly is. And remind you that that diamond has been given to you through faith in his name. Amen.